Jump around cause you're feeling a pain. Wave you one up in the party and want even no same house money ready. And from the microphone and I'm feeling sexy. And what if I girls and all them love mousy. And shot me shot cause you know
me. Games room was getting done in January. We're doing it like her set up on one end because she plays COD and all with the boys, and my set up down this end, and just gonna fucking get a blackout blind, lights all around the ceiling.
Something like this,
and
bro.
Then in 2025, I'm booking a full week off on the day of release for a whole week, and I'm not leaving that games room for a week. I swear to God, I won't leave that games room for a week.
Oh, yeah. See what the mad thing is, GTA 5 came out 2013, right? Now it's coming out 2025. Jesus Christ.
Oh,
I won't
God,
be surprised actually. If it gets delayed.
Yeah.
12 years, isn't it? It'll be 12 years. Jesus Christ. You'll be, what, 64? You'll be playing 40.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, what, 40? Before, when 5 came out, I was only talking to my little brother. He's up in the hospital. I was talking to him earlier on. Yeah, his appendix went. So
he's gone?
No, Luke. He's getting the surgery for today. Took a turn the other day and he went to
wishing speed of recovery.
He asked me, man, could he go to the hospital, and my little brother's real shy and quiet, he wouldn't ask that question, so we knew there was something up, so we went up anyways, but he's in today for surgery. When 5 came out, I was saying to him earlier, when 5 came out it was when I left school, at 16, do you know what I mean? So when that came out, I completed the game 100%. So saying to my little brother earlier on, when he used to go to school in the morning, I'd be only going to bed, and when he'd get in from school, I'd be only getting out of bed, and I'd start playing it when he's home school, right up until he was going back to school the next morning.
Yeah.
That's how I end up getting insomnia. Honestly, that's how I developed insomnia, was because I just, and I wasn't mind boys, right, at the time. Do you know what my telly was that I played this on? Remember the boxes?
Yeah.
The prop with the big backs and all. That's why I was playing GTA 5 on, boys. No.
I had that.
That's why I had to play, yeah.
Big
but like,
tank,
it
yeah.
was just because we didn't have an in the gaff, you know what I mean? We had our big telly in the sitting room, but like, me and my little brother had to use this little box joke, you know what I mean? Yeah. But even when the boys would come around, I'd tell Darden, I'd be like, yeah, I'll bring your telly down. He'd bring his telly and I'd have two Xboxes, have mine and my brother's. And we'd just go online, we'd be playing GTA online next to each other on two tellies. Like, fuck, I swear. I never got so much joy out of a game in my life. Loved it.
Oh, stop, it was
lit. And see this, when this comes out, it's going to be nuts.
Probably oh, see nobody. Everybody be gone.
Hibernation mode activated. Yeah. Good luck.
Come out your hair then, proper.
See, like FIFA, do you know what I mean? See, like FIFA, when it gets released, everyone's in that gaff playing it. It'll be 100 times even more than that.
I don't
see me for a month.
I don't think there's any joy in FIFA anymore.
Oh, that is.
I don't think.
Never played it.
From what, right? When we used to be good at it, boys, and I'm not playing, blowing smoke up my own arse, but at one stage in FIFA Online, in Ultimate Team, I had a record of nearly 400 wins to about 80 losses.
That's
decent. Yeah, it was mental. At the time, it was mental. I think it was 17 or 18, and I thought it was lethal because I'd play 10 games and lose 2. I'd win 8 and lose 2, like, and then I'd play 10 games the next day, same thing,
I'd
probably win 9,
well.
Right? It used to be lethal, boys, right? Every year, I bought that game every year since, and within 2 or 3 weeks of it being out, I've done with it. Probably spending 200-300 quid as well in the first 2 weeks. It's dead as fuck. It's the same
boy
thing.
FIFA points.
Yeah. I don't spend much money on it, bro, but when it comes out, you know, just to get a start, like, I'd put 100 quid
just
here.
Just to get the best players.
Yeah, just to see what we can get out of it and then build a team on. But fuck me, man. Every time, the last 3 I've gotten, I've bought every single one of them the month it's out or the day it's out, and I've been done with it in a week. FIFA 24 at home, or FC 24 at home, I think I've put 4 hours into it in total. That's it.
We haven't bought it. Last
FIFA
we played is 22.
Yeah.
I haven't bought it since.
I've a PlayStation 5 in my gaff, right? And my missus will tell you. In the last, since I bought that, in when she got it, my missus got it for me when it came out, the day it came out. Since she's bought that, I think there's been a total, and this is no joke with you boys, in 5 years or something, I think there's a total of about 8 hours played.
Okay.
8 hours of gaming played in 5 years on a PlayStation. Just go show you, gaming for me has just gone out the window. Like, I don't get joy out of it anymore. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like, you want to sit there, like, I want to sit there and actually, like, have fun. That's what gaming should be all about. Not too much competitiveness in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's why you're on FC
well.
24. You know, when on FC, like, if I go on it, say if I went on it now today, I'd probably do seasons just for the crack, because it's only me against someone online picking a team like Man City, Liverpool, and yeah. then you're playing, you're not playing for that really, you're just playing to like go up the divisions.
Yeah, or career mode, or what is co-op, something like that.
Yeah, co-ops, or the one where you're your own player,
pro clubs, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Pro clubs
is deadly,
all
that. It's enjoyment, you know what I mean? It's true. A bit of fun. That's what gaming should be about. It shouldn't be about it too competitive and wanting to compete at a high level and all. When did we get here? You know what I mean? Like, gaming's always been about fun, playing with your mates and enjoying yourself, and like taking yourself out of reality for a few hours. You know what I mean? Like taking an escape. Now it's just all about, oh, you have to be the best, oh, you have to win this, oh, you have to do it. Fuck off.
Yeah, take me back to FIFA 13. Those were the days, isn't it? FIFA 13.
You know what I used to love, bro? What's it called? It used to be a five-a-side, bro. Something Street.
FIFA Street.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You used to get the power shot.
You used to backflips over the balls and all. Stop. Yeah.
That's what I played. I never played FIFA. Yeah. The only time I played FIFA was in your house, bro. I met the boys in the flats. Yeah. The only time, bro. Never bought FIFA, never downloaded it. Just don't like football.
Look, it was that in this stage and all where like, we'd have, say, eight of the boys over, right? And I'd do Norwich. And this is no joke, because I remember Norwich because it's the one I won with. I done Norwich and let all the boys pick all the best teams in Europe, and I finished on top by 3 points of a tournament, like, because it's a group yoke, you know what I mean? So you all get 3 points every time, one for a draw or whatever.
I used to be the first one ever.
I'd genuinely go with Norwich. If it wasn't a knockout, it was a league, and I finished by 3 points ahead of the person in second, like, and that's how good I was at the game.
The West Houlihan fella.
If I was picking a team like that, and at the time they were awful, you know what I mean? Still are, but like at the time they were awful, and I'd win the whole tournament. Like,
yeah.
That's not blowing smoke up me. That's, I used to be deadly at the game. Now it's just gone out the window. There's so much changes as well. That's enough of that anyway.
On to you now. So first things first, before we get to open up, there's a question I haven't asked, or I wish I could have asked you in the last episode. Weight cuts. There's different variety of weight cuts. I know, like, in an MMA weight cut, it's different from a boxing weight cut. It's different from a kickboxing weight cut. Since have you had a pro boxing for you?
Boxing, no. I had my pro debut.
Should
have had me pro debut now in February. We just don't have a date yet.
Ah, fresh.
Lovely stuff.
So, you've done, what else? Muay Thai as well, so there would be a Waco and Muay Thai. So I'm assuming kickboxing Waco and Muay Thai Waco would be different since you've competed in both them sports. What's the Waco process like for a fighter?
So, you see, I don't think that there's much of a difference in any of them in that kind of sense, but it's the fact of, in kickboxing, most of my fights I had were competitions. So if I had a fight, like a title fight, it'd be one way in, that's it. So it's not that you could lose any amount of weight and then you'd be grand, you'll fuel up for the day before. Where if you go and fight in the worlds, if you have one fight, three fights, or 15 fights, every morning you have to weigh in the same way. So as soon as you fight, you can't whack a lot of food into you. You can whack a small bit of rice, a bit of something, then you have to go training that night to cut the weight for the next morning.
Fucking hell.
So you have to be the same way all the time, Jimmy.
Yeah. What's the process like? Because we're aware, like myself and Ross.
That's it, yeah. Sorry to interrupt, like, sorry, bro. This is what happened with me last time, and I said it to you, didn't I? When we done the podcast the first time with me, remember in the gaff when you went down with me? After that podcast, after we went off here, we were talking about the weight cut. Remember when you nearly killed yourself? Mm-hmm. Just talk to us a little bit about that, because we didn't get it on podcast. Yeah, I was snapping at the time. I was like, why did you say that after we went off camera? Just to top up on what he was asking you, just speak a little bit about that, because I know for a fact a lot of fighters out there do kill themselves to get down.
I took a fight on 3 weeks notice where, like, I didn't agree to the fight. I just got told, right, there's a fight coming up, you ask for a fight, here you go. I asked for a fight in a couple of weeks or a couple of months of fantasy. You know?
Give you a chance to get it ready, yeah.
So it was like 3 weeks, I was weighing in at, I think it was 92 kilos. I was like, right, Grant, what do I have to be at? 72.5 in 3 weeks. I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, and I didn't understand, like, how I was going to do or how not. And one thing I've always just did is just bit down, because my old lad just said, listen, someone tells you to do it, just do it. So I was like, really fresh, I'll do it. And I got to, like, cutting the weight, and I couldn't eat right, I couldn't sleep right, I couldn't train right, because I was drained. And then the last week, I had still 12 kilos to go, and I lost it. But I got to the weighing that day, I was supposed to be weighing at 72.5, I weighed in at 72.6, right, so I was like, ha, handy, I'll get away with it. The fellow was fine, I was like, no, fuck you, do it. I was like, what? Point one? He's like, yeah, do it. So I was like, no way. I went downstairs and put a sweatsuit on, skipped. I think it was for, I would say 40 minutes, bro. I got sick. I was pissing blood. I was shitting blood.
Oh,
so I said to myself, right, I'm going to make this weight just to prove this cunt wrong. I went into the toilet, bro. I haven't told anyone this yet. I went in and stuck my fingers down my throat, bro. Got sick, but I got sick. Acid, bro. I mean, acid. This was green, yeah? This burned me whole tongue, burned me whole mouth. Couldn't think. Made the weight, bro. Took a bottle of Lucozade, boom, hit the dick. Just conked. The sugar just came to me, bro. I had no energy, no nothing.
All the electrolytes this, gone out of your body, bro, everything drained out of you. There's me, nothing in
fucked.
You. Yeah.
This fucked me up, bro. I got into this fight, bro.
Did you beat him?
Nah, bro. This is my first fight I've ever in my whole career. Sparring, anything being stopped, bro. I've never been stopped, never been put down. And that's not being a cocky.
That's because you don't have fluids in your brain. That's what it is.
This was mad. I'm not being cocky. I've never been stopped, never been
hurt.
It's not hurt.
Cockiness, though. You proved it in the ring. You proved it in the ring. The first minute,
I was just laying hands on him, bro. And then, boom, he started kicking me. The more he started kicking me, this was bare shame, bro. And I felt my body like, ooh.
Weak.
I felt that.
Proper weak, yeah.
I don't feel shit, bro. I was like, what? I felt that. Boom, torn, bro. He gave me a head kick with bare shin. I swear to God, bro. I could not hear and I could not see for about 30 seconds, bro. Remember keeping my hands up just throwing digs. And I was like, what? What's going on here? Round went. I said to Jimmy, he's like, Jimmy, I can't function here. And he was talking to me, bro. And I can see him talking to me. I was like, what?
There's nothing coming in.
I can't hear you. And he was just, I could see his eyes getting lit. And I was like, what? And I had to look at his mouth. And I was like, I can't hear you. It went out. Can't go again, and then he just gave me another head kick, bro. And my whole, all I could hear, I swear to you, my life, all I could hear. I was like, what is this? And I got another head kick, bro, and boom, that's it. Ref just stopped it.
Look,
for about 2 hours, bro, couldn't hear, couldn't function, getting sick, fainting, bro. When the only that way cut at home, I was collapsing at home, I was collapsing in training, I was doing mad shit, and I couldn't get my body around the fact of like, why am I putting myself through this? Why is someone that cares about me let me put myself through this? Why, like, do you not care? Do you not see that I'm suffering? I'm in pain here. Why you still let me go on with this? You cannot be the man yourself that you're supposed to care and say, no, you're not doing it.
Because yeah. At the end of the day, what you're at the saying is you're taught a way in which when you're given an opportunity, you go and take it. So you had the opportunity. But it's still on somebody else to realise. It's not down to you. You know you're going to do it. You're just not going to stop yourself from going that's and doing that. You just knew, I'm doing this. I'm going to prove myself. I'm going to prove everyone else that will still do it. But it's still on somebody, like you said, I don't want to point blame at anybody. But the people around you at the time, it was on them to see how much you struggled with that and say, hang on a minute here, that's not going to hit. Because at the end of the day, they put you at risk. Because risk. They were the ones that put you in that ring. I'm not saying you could have said no or no, but that's not the type of person you are.
That's the thing, bro. But
there you go.
I did, and then I got told. You owe such and such then, that which was bollocks. You owe such and such. You're a bitch. What? I'm a bitch? Bro, listen, I'm afraid of no one. If you're a fighter, big, tall, gangster, I couldn't care, bro. If you're going to be a man and fight me with your hands, if fight, I lose, yeah. I lose. That's not a bother, bro. Yeah.
That's stupid calling you a bitch. Like, your health should be number one, do you know what I mean? Like, they didn't care about your
people
health.
People don't like... Some people
like, I get it, that old skills, you know what I mean?
I mean, the old skill, bro. I went unbeaten, bro, for 6 years. I was killing everyone, bro. I went and fought in Wales, bro, at 16 or 17. Sorry, I was lying to you. 16 or 17. Went all in for a 33-year-old, bro. Fought him for a European title, bro, and won. That was the first time ever I've ever seen my dad, bro, stand in the corner. My dad asked me 3 times when I stood in the ring before the round even started, the first round. Son, do you want me to call this fight? Son, I goes, dad, fuck off and leave me alone. Like, I'm going in and I'm going to win. Went in, bro. Knocked him out. Finished the fight in the third round. And then the fella comes out and he, do you want a drink? I was like, mate, I'm under 18. I'm not allowed to drink. And there was murder over, bro. Murder. Like, people don't understand, bro. I went unbeaten. Like, didn't lose for years, bro. Went 34 an hour or something, bro. That's it. As soon as I lost one fight, boom. Everyone just turned. And that was it.
Yeah, do you think your success was kind of like the architect of your downfall in terms of what happened that fight?
In what way do you mean?
In terms of like people forced you to take it instead of like looking after your health, seeing the state you are in.
Yeah.
Is it because of your success or what you are able to achieve?
it was that as well. And for not saying for who I was, bro, I'm not saying I'm any somebody now, I'm nobody, yeah. Do you get me? One day I will be, bro. People will know, for a lot of people will know me, all around the world will know me. But it's the fact of, and that stage, like, what the fuck would you do that to me for? Like, I did nothing wrong, didn't you? I fought on everybody you asked me to fight. When you should know if it's your son, your brother, your student, your anybody, you should know when they're ready or not ready. I was ready for anybody, bro, but that was my first ever bare shin K1 fight. Never ever did amateur K1, just boom, straight.
And was that a yoke where you had to cut 20 kilo in fucking 2 weeks?
22 kilo in 3 weeks, bro. Ah, fuck me up, man. I don't care what anyone says, bodybuilders or anyone, that is hard, bro. Hard. Yeah. And it drains you, mentally drains you. Physically
this is
drained,
why
yeah.
a lot of professional fighters are trying to get catch weights in like UFC and stuff like
bro,
that.
I think they should.
Like
I remember Kiefer Crosby when he was at Bellator. All of his fights, I think, except his last fight at Bellator, were catch weight.
Yeah.
Because at the time he couldn't really make the lightweight limit. It was a bit too much for him because he used to be a welterweight.
Yeah.
Like there should be more catch weights.
So like
you know what's interesting? You see like between light heavyweight and heavyweight in the UFC,
yeah,
they should have a cruiserweight 225.
Yeah.
That would suit. All the other heavyweights who are too big for heavyweight but too small for low heavyweight. Yeah. See, I look, I don't know.
It's the
say
same
John Jones, for instance. I think that would suit John Jones.
It's the same with... So you go, what is it, 155, and then you're going straight to 180, isn't it? 15 in every one of them. There should be a 10 pound in the difference or something like that.
Yeah, because you look from flyweight to fat. No, sorry, not featherweight. Flyweight to lightweight.
25, 45, 45, 55.
Yeah, exactly. It should 10 be 10
and
pounds,
all them
yeah.
smaller ones, you know what I mean?
And
I
remember, like, there were talks years ago about 165 division.
Yeah, 100%.
There should
and
be a 165
even Joe Rogan,
division.
I only seen Joe Rogan clip on that the other day, and he was even saying, he was like, because a lot of guys he talks to, tell him how difficult this is. Like, you're killing yourself. And Joe Rogan knows what weight cut is. You know what I mean? I'm sure he's done it himself as well.
Yeah,
just
he was
to
a
test it
well.
Out.
Yeah,
he was, yeah. So he knows exactly what it's like, and he's very vocal about trying to add in the one what you were talking about there, the 165, whatever it was, and then a one fucking what is it? So 170, 175, or 178, or something like that. Which is still a lot of like you look at. Look at Pereira, yeah, when he was fighting a middleweight or light heavyweight. He was gaining 30 pounds overnight before stepping in the octagon. So he'd weigh in at 180 or 185, and then by Saturday morning, and he's fighting Saturday night, so by Saturday morning he was weighing in at 220. He's gone 185
remember,
to 220.
Remember your man Figueiredo? Used to be flyweight champion.
Yeah.
Used to kill himself making that weight.
Yeah, he's gone up
himself.
Now.
He's gone up now.
He's done well the weekend, yeah.
Oliveira's done the same. Went from a featherweight to a lightweight. He's
yeah.
too big for featherweight, you know what I mean?
And it's like
even lightweight's fucking hard.
Height comes into it with weight as well. Because the taller you are, the easier or the more you're going to weigh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like me and you could weigh the same. But because I'm taller, there'd be a couple of kilo on the difference. You know what I mean? If we've done the same diet, there's always good height, obviously, comes into play. Of course,
muscle mass as well. You look
mass,
at Khabib,
yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Khabib's not the tallest, but his muscle mass
he's
muscles
a beast,
upon
yeah.
muscles,
monster.
And he finds it hard to cut weight to 155.
It's the same now with McGregor. If he ever comes back, he's not getting down to 155. No chance, absolutely no
now,
chance.
Have you seen him lately? Like, he
yeah,
has,
yeah,
down.
Yeah.
I think
he's
be able to
off cycle.
Yeah,
100% because he's off cycle. But
I'd say he'd make 154.
I'd say he'd make it. It's not going to be easy.
Oh, definitely,
definitely
not easy. Especially
not easy.
When you grow
the
older.
The chap was bleeding.
When you grow older, you fill out more. You know what I mean?
The chap was at 190 or something, nearly 200 pounds
yeah.
with all that juice. He was nearly, you could see his veins and all bulging out of his shoulders. Now, if you look at a picture of him, where's the vein in the shoulder gone? Exactly. There you go. That tells you everything you need to know. As I remember, bro, I'm not joking you. I won't say a name here, right? And you know, I'm not going to say I'm not going to look at boys, right? I know a lot about steroids, and it's because I studied it,
yeah.
because it's something that interested me. Genuinely, we talked about this a while ago. It's something that interests me that in future, may or may not in the future, if it came to it, and I got to a point in my life where I couldn't push past my limits,
to do
and
it.
I needed a bit of help, maybe I would. So
yeah,
I studied
yeah, yeah.
that to understand it a lot more, and like to know the difference between like oral ones and needles and all these different things, right? So we were having a conversation then about McGregor, and this is, bear in mind, boy, this is after I was doing a lot of studying. It's not like I sat at home for hours on night and fucking looked up steroids. I watched people speak about it, watched podcasts on it, watched scientists talk about it, I watched Joe Rogan talk about it because he's on him himself. I watched a lot of people, so I learned a lot in that few weeks or whatever.
Doctor fella.
Someone, yeah, right? Someone turned around and goes, I remember I was talking about it. And this is like McGregor's number one fan, we'll call him, right? And he was like, I was saying to him, I was saying to all the boys, there was about 20 of us in the group chat at the time because you were going and doing stuff in the summer and that. So we made a big group chat. If anyone ever wanted to say bowling or fuck off or something, we'd all text and that and fuck off. And they were one of the days, like a lot of the boys drove and all. So we'd go out. We're right putting the group chat and I was like, look at this fella, juiced up to the eyeballs and all, right? And this McGregor's number one fan turned around, no chance. What are you on about? No chance, right? So he's like, no chance. He was like, he has to take steroids for his leg and all. It's the same thing as juice. It's like, he's obviously, he's taking, right, the steroid to heal.
Yeah.
But he's obviously taking liberties by being on steroids to heal. He's taking steroids to grow because he's getting big. Look, of course, you're going to get steroids, but he obviously found the loophole, right? Well, I'm taking steroids for my leg. Might as well take steroids to build up. So I kept pointing out little things about McGregor's pictures to him. I was like, look at the shoulders, look at the veins, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. No. Argued with me. Down to the ground. So I said, just wait till he's off cycle. And he's like, not on a cycle. Just wait till he's off cycle. Can't be grand, nobody. You came off cycle, the vein disappeared. Sent him a picture. I said, what do you think about McGregor juicing now? I'd say he just used the loophole. After arguing with me down to the ground for hours, boys. When he came off cycle, he admitted straight away, yeah, maybe he just done it because of the leg and all. Yeah, fucking idiot. Yeah,
people know what I mean? Don't like
them, but like, going like that, I fucking knew everything about it. You could see it, boys. It was bulging. It's always look at the shoulder. That shoulder vein, I'm in good shape, right? And I do a lot of training, same as you used to. We all do, you know what I mean? And you'll never, unless you have low body, really low body fat, or you're on juice, you're not going to see veins start to bulge out my arms unless I'm cutting. And if I cut a lot of weight, you'll start, like, you can see them kind of now. Yeah. So if I cut to low body fat, you'll see them a lot more because of the body fat.
Yeah, yeah.
But how can you get bigger in muscle mass, right? And still have the veins with low body fat. There's only one way to do that, and that's steroids. But steroids helps you keep the fat out, helps you lose the fat, but all the while building muscle. So it's nearly impossible. If you want to build muscle, right, and you eat a load of food, you're not going to keep low body fat. It's impossible. It doesn't work. Yeah, if you look at people that are on steroids, they all have six packs. They all have veins bulging out of everywhere. All the while, they're growing.
Liver king.
But how can you, yeah. Liver king, but yeah. How can you grow and still have low body fat? One thing. There you go.
True.
Simple. Yeah. It's not that difficult to understand, do you know what I mean?
And come here, speaking of weight cuts, like, we know about that one day weight cut and then recover before the fight. You were talking about a competition where you have to weigh in every morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every morning. What's the process behind trying to keep the weight low?
Just consistency, bro. I just have to stick to it. Oh, I'm on my fucker,
so are you, more just...
Look, how are you able to fight while being literally drained to bits and perform at the highest level?
So see, when you weigh in on Friday night, what's your meal after? Do you get me? Like, what are you eating? What's the process behind it?
Are you on about a competition or a single fight?
Competition.
Competition then, yeah.
See, after that, you could... See, when you eat some, when you weigh in that day and you're actually cutting so much and then you weigh in and eat, you don't put as much on as you think. It's the fact of how many you're going to eat and much you're going to put on. Yeah. It's the water, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'd eat a lot of, I'd have a breakfast and then I'd eat a lot of water, man. And then the weight would come on me. So that would help me though, just as much as to cut the weight because I'd piss her out or I'd sweat her out.
Yeah, it's only water.
Yeah. But then you take a time, like I'd have a small bit of chocolate doing it just to get that bit of energy.
Of course, yeah.
Then you'd go train that night, cut weight. And I wait the next morning, weigh in, then eat again. Do you hear me? So in them 9-10 hours, not that you won't be eating, you just won't eat as much and you'd stop. And then all of a sudden you'd eat and you'd have that energy back. It's not that you'd lose it. It depends on what way you'd cut it. If you cut it wrong, you'd have no energy. If you do it right, with the weight cut and weigh in every day, you'd have energy. It's just a fact of sticking to that way. Where sometimes I used to struggle to cut 0.1, 0.2. Used to weigh in, the odd time I'd weigh in, it was 0.1 over, and you just had to keep cutting the bra, and you'd be sitting there, or standing there skipping, and you'd be like that, you can't hear and you can't swallow.
Dehydrated as well, the bit.
I mean, I was spitting and these are coming out like snowballs, bro. These are why? Like, why? And I'm saying, this is, why do I keep doing this myself? But it's not that I keep doing it, it's the fact of you couldn't wait every day. It was just one weight, bro. It could have been
at the end of
grand.
The day, when it comes to weight, it's all about fair competition, isn't it?
Yeah, which is true, because it's good in the likes of the kickboxing and the wackos. It's good because you can never be a different way.
Yeah,
you'll always be the same way. The only time you could be such a much of a difference weight is the final.
Yeah,
because it's one way in and that's it. Then you can eat what the fuck you like. But it's the fact of cutting that way and you're all equal. It's fair.
It's just keeping fair. It fair, yeah. Because at the end of the day, everyone's in the same boat then.
Yeah, but then not everyone in the same weight is the same size and same build and same height.
It's easier. Like, it could be easier, say me and you were in that competition, it could be easier for me to drop the weight than it is for you.
Yeah, because so you're in that tall. Sense, I'm small and chubby, bro. Do you hear me?
Yeah, in that sense, it's not fair, but that's why they try to do it. And it's more so just keep fair, especially with weights. So we have weights for a reason. Everyone weighs in the same.
Yeah.
I know, look at Pereira is one in a million where he's weighing in 40 pounds heavier in a day, but a lot of the time it's just to keep you around similar size and weight going into the fight. The
next true,
day.
True.
But then at the end of the day, a lot of people, when they rehydrate, they fucking put on serious mass. Like, it's madness. Like, a lot of them, the Pereira is obviously my go to example because that's 40 pounds in 24 hours, which is mental. So, I don't know, there's no way you can combat it either, is there? Mm. It's more so just get on with it.
Look at the draw.
Heavy.
Actually, we want to get away from the weight cuts now. I think that's enough, innit? With the weight cuts.
It just gives you bad memories.
Moving on to more bad then.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a reason why we want to bring you on, and Ross said it on the story. It's probably going to be the most deep and open podcast we'll probably have.
For me, anyway, 100% will be, yeah.
Yeah, I think it will be for myself as well.
And like, you've done a lot as well, so to even say that is big, like, do you know what I mean? This will be the deepest. Yeah, for me, defo, because I'm only on like 10, 11. You're on, what are you on now? Like,
this is episode 59?
Yeah, 59, and this will be the most honest and open we've ever been about it.
Yeah, it's just because I don't think we'll have someone probably bear this soul as much as you will. And it's a bit of a touchy subject as well, since you're dealing with it as well at the same time. So, again, like I said to you before we record, like, any questions you don't want me to ask, feel free to let me know. Don't ask that question, right? And just want you to know we're here for you. You know what I mean? I know it's a tough thing. And yeah, we're just here for you no matter what. And just try to help you guide your way through a better life, I suppose.
Yeah. We'll try structure in a way that you're comfortable as well, that you're not just talking about certain things you don't want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So first things first is you were open on Instagram about your addiction to weed. Now, a lot of people, we've all known drug addictions, cocaine, heroin. No one ever talked about weed.
No.
Weed is like, society glorifies weed nowadays, you know what I mean? Look at them rappers. They smoke weed. Everyone wants to be like them. See young fellas thinking they're fucking kill smoking a joint and all that. But now
I know, listen to me. Sorry to interrupt you there for a second, but I just want to put this out there. Like, I know 14-year-olds in the inner city who are smoking weed.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Like, they think it's actually kill. And this episode should be educational for them.
Hopefully,
and to let them know the bad side, the dark side.
Because at the end of the day, boys,
because it's not all some swimming
and
rainbows.
At the end of the day, right, for someone that, I'm fully on the side of legalising it, right? We won't go into that because it doesn't matter what my opinion and used to as opinions on legalising the stuff or not. My problem with it is exactly the stuff you're at the saying. It's glorified. It's made look like it's not an addiction. It's you're happy, you're healthy when you smoke it. When you're 14 years of age and you're smoking weed, you're not giving your brain a chance to develop. It's stunting your brain's growth. I always said this to anyone close to me before, boys, and I always said it. If you're ever going to try weed, wait till you're at least 21. Let your brain develop. Let yourself learn. Because it does stop you. I'm stupid after smoking weed. You know what I mean? Mm. You are. It's simple. It's the truth. It's not a lie. It's not fake. It's not made up in my head. You're a simpleton when you smoke. We all are. You smoke weed, you're just sitting on the chair like a blatant gobshite.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So you're 14 years of age, think about it. You're just burning the brain cells out of your brains. Do you know what I mean? But going back, let you go back into that. Sorry, I just wanted to interrupt there. Like.
No, it's all right. Like, there's a dark side behind smoking weed that young fellas should know. And first question I want to ask you is, when did you first start smoking weed and how was it like? A lot of people, like, their addiction story starts with some sort of trauma, right? Something happened to them. Or maybe it was peer pressure. Or maybe someone just
wanted to be cool around your mates. Yeah.
I just want to smoke weed just for the crack, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what made you start smoking weed in the first place?
A social thing, was it?
Nah, not really. I'm not saying I had a bad life, bro, and I had it, but I had shit that happened and did to me that not a lot of people would experience or think that happened to me, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And it made me think, like, what? I'm not gonna say who. Someone has said it to me one day, oh, just have a joint and you'll forget about it. I was like, what do you mean a joint? And I had a joint, bro, and I was, that night I never felt I was fucked, but then I didn't think of anything. I just thought, like, oh, I'm actually all right here.
The problems went away while you were stoned.
I'm numb here. What's not numb, but I'm like,
oh, it does. It numbs it. A lot of addictions numbs what's really going
well
on in reality.
When you start off, like, before you dive into addiction, where it's actually numbness, the first time you take drugs, it actually feels good.
It's like chasing
I mean?
The dragon. That's what they say about heroin and all. You chase the dragon the first time you do it, and then every time you do it after that, you'll never ever get that sensation again. Yeah. So it's like anything else. It's like coke. I guarantee you, the majority of people that took coke for the first time be able to tell you a story about the first night on the coke. Yeah. I can guarantee you.
So you must have had a good buzz off the first time you smoked the joint.
Not even a good buzz, it's just it made you forget what was really going on.
It made me forget a lot, man.
So what I mean?
As a kid, you have these girls, you're with a girl and you break up, first love and all that shit, you think it's the first love, and then you're a kid and your heart's broken because you're this and that, you're thinking, I smoked that and I just forgot about everything, and then I just knew after like a week, I was saying to myself, this is mad, then I said, oh, I'm addicted.
Yeah.
And that's when it happened.
Actually, when did you first start smoking? How old were you?
18. 18 I was, yeah. 18. Yeah. I'm only 25 now, and people think, ah, that's not young or that's not old, but it doesn't matter what age you when you start it. When you know yourself, you've addicted personality, and I'm not talking bad about anybody in my family, but your family has addicted personality, you should realise then not to do it, Jimmy. Because I did it, and I just knew, like,
but at the end of the day, Pete, I know you always say this to everyone, nobody can tell you how to feel. Nobody. I don't know what you're feeling right now. I don't know what you're feeling right now. I don't know what either of you are feeling right now. I shouldn't have any right or any say
in
being able to tell you, don't feel like that. What's that doing to anybody? You know what I mean? You don't even know how you feel. And then you have people telling you, don't do it, don't do this, or you're not addicted, you're young, you're old. Doesn't matter what you are. If you were addicted to weed for 6 months, nobody else can say you didn't have an addiction.
Yeah.
You know you had an addiction to it. If I was addicted to it for 5 years, nobody can say, oh, it's not as long as me, I was addicted 10 years. Just because you were addicted to something longer than me doesn't make my addiction any less or any more than yours. You know what I mean?
See, that's the thing, bro. Right now, bro, I don't even know how it feels, you hear me? Everything, it doesn't even feel like everything's upside down, it just feels like I have nothing left, you hear me?
Is it like a blow? That's what it's like, isn't it? It's like a blow.
It's not even a blow, bro, it just feels like, then I realise myself sometimes, like, what am I even doing now, like, do you hear me?
Yeah.
You think about it and talk about it, and then, I can't keep something in my head, bro, I have to write it down.
If I
show you my phone now, I have notes to write down that I want to say to people.
Yeah.
And it's fucking me up because I was never, ever, ever like this, bro, Jimmy. Ever. I was, you know, bro, I was always a happy person, always a bubbly person, and weed just fucked me up, bro. And I do not care who you are or if you're selling it, if you have a shop somewhere in a different country where you're allowed to sell it and buy it, I don't care who you are, bro. Weed fucks you up. It ruins you, it ruins your love life, it ruins your family. It ruins your mental health, it ruins everything, bro, because you're smoking it there and then, you're happy, you're eating, you're having the buzz, just looking at funny videos. As soon as I stop smoking, bro, I think of death. I think of suicidal, I think of, oh, I need a joint, I'm getting sweating, I'm going to fuck up here, I need this, give me it to now. And then I don't have it, and then if I'm here with you, if you are with me wrong enough, I'd be like, what the fuck are you saying that for? Why are you looking at me? What did I do wrong in you, Jimmy?
And that's where addiction comes in.
And it fucked me up, bro, because it
take your time,
get it all out, bro.
Take your time, bro.
Honestly, this is what this is all about, bro. Honestly, you're a full grown man, we all have problems. We went through shit, you know what I mean? But the more you get out, the more you open up. Look what it's doing, you know what I mean? I know it's upsetting, but...
I'm not that person, bro. Sorry. I am not that person, man.
But that's what I was saying to you, bro, and that's where addiction comes in, yeah. Addiction comes in to the point where it ruins everything about you. Just what you were saying there... Just what you were saying there, bro, right? So you were saying you're not that person, you were happy, you were always playing bubbly, you always looking out for people and all. And then when you went on the weight, everything after that just went downhill. But it's down to an addiction, Peter. And at the end of the day, I know it's upsetting right now, but at the end of the day, you're at the coming out of it. You're off it. You're changed.
Well, I came off it because I'm after losing someone that I have feelings for that I never had before, Jimmy.
Yeah. You're in love, proper in love.
Bro, I don't even think this was love that I had. This is something more than love, bro. This person made me feel something completely different, bro. Do you get me?
Yeah.
I enjoyed every moment with it. Every moment with the whore, every moment with the baby. Like, it just fucked me up, bro. The fact of, because of the addiction and because of the drug, you can lose something good. Do you get me? You can lose someone over that. It's that, like, people don't understand when you have addiction, bro, it's not you.
No,
that is not you, bro. No. I was,
but
in the mindset,
is, bro,
of it.
I'm not joking, you. I have family members who are addicted to hard drugs, and I ain't talking like heroin and crack and stuff like that. It destroys everything.
Thanks, bro.
It destroys absolutely everything. And you're right in what you're saying there. Is like, that's not you. That addiction led you down a path to a point to where it was changing your mind about things. It was making you sound negative when you didn't have it. The only time you were positive was when you were smoking it. And that's where addiction comes in. People just think, oh, look at him, junkie, or look at this, junkie, that. It's not. They have an addiction. They're feeding their addiction. I know we don't like the way they act and the way they go on to try and feed their addiction, but at the end of the day, it's addiction. You don't look down on people who are going through. And you're a perfect example of this. If people glorify weed and stuff like that, look what it done to you. Look at what you're at there opening up about. You had something that you knew you've never had before, and you never felt this way about anyone in your life, the baby and everything that she has. You had all of that, and what did the addiction do? It took it all away from you.
Bro, it didn't only take it, destroyed everything on me, man. I've never did anything like that before, bro. Unfortunately, like, I've never did nothing bad to where I've never hit anyone, never anything, but when you mentally hurt someone, bro, it fucks them up, do you hear me? One thing I've always stuck to, bro, if I love you, I love you, and that's a fact, bro. I don't care what I'm going through or what I said, I love you. And at the end of the day, you have to look after yourself if you're with that person or not, if what they're doing to you. I understand, but sometimes when someone has an addiction or that, you don't turn your back on them, bro. You don't, not that you got betrayed or anything, but you don't betray someone and think, fuck this, that. If someone that you love and it's your parent or it's your sister or your cousin, bro, you're supposed to stick behind them. If you love someone, don't fake love.
We should be there for you at your most vulnerable as well, though. And that's when you're at your... No, I know, but when you're at your most vulnerable is when we should be there to stick by you.
I know, and then I could be vulnerable here and call you a cunt, bro, and this and that, but at the end of the day, if you love me, bro, if I called you a cunt, just get over it and help me, bro.
Yeah.
That's not me calling you a cunt.
That's
not me doing that, because I'm
that's
not like that, bro.
Else, that's something else. We talked about it with Keith Rice. It's something else. It's not you. It's like another side of you.
Not
that
me,
ain't
man.
You. That was never in you.
And what I'd say about it is, right, and I said it earlier, I touched on it a little bit, it's the come off or the come down. So when you're smoking, when you're addicted to something, you have it. It's like being addicted to gaming. When you have that control in your hand, you're at your most happiest. But when you go to work the next day and you can't play a game for another 10 hours and you have to do a 10-hour shift, you're going off the head. I need getting the shakes and all. I need to be on that. You see it with kids nowadays, they're bleeding, going nuts.
With their phones. Yeah. Remember Jerry Redmond talking about his kids?
Yeah. And I see it a lot as well with a lot of fucking famous people talking about their kids and the iPads and stuff like that. It's an addiction. And it's the same with me and my phone. I can, like, I won't say it's going to cause me any hassle not being on it, but addicted to technology. So I'd be scrolling on social media 24/7, never off the phone. But going back to it, it's the same with any sort of drug. When you're on that drug, you're at your happiest. It's simple as that. When you do it for so long that it's making you so happy when you're on it, you need to be doing it 24/7. So when them few hours come around where you have to be sober, doesn't matter what it's for, when you have to be sober and you're off them drugs, that's when you're at your most vulnerable, because that's when you're not yourself. Because I told you earlier on, I know a lot about people who go on the session on a Saturday, have the time of their life, who are enjoying their life. Look, I'm not going to judge anybody. If you're on coke, you're on coke. You're having the time of your life. You're partying out, blade, buzzing, dancing around, boom, 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 going all days, night clothes, back to a gaff till 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Time your life with all your best buds. Where are they on the Sunday? Nowhere to be seen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And when they're off them, the coke for them, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that's when they don't want to talk to people. Mm. Just want to stay in the room. Don't want to go to work. When they go to work, they're so unsociable because they're missing the high. It's I've seen it myself and I've experienced it myself. Is you don't want to fucking, don't want to talk to anybody. Just leave me the fuck alone. And that's when you're not yourself. Is when you're on that come off. It's the same for yourself when you're not smoking with it. It's that's when you're at your worst. You're like fuck everybody. Fuck you have no purpose. Just want don't want. Nothing got to do with anything. Yeah. You just want to be left alone by yourself, in silence by yourself to deal with the problems that you're dealing with. But the problems are created by the addiction. The addiction is when you're smoking, you're happy. When you're not smoking, you're fucked.
Yeah, but that's the thing, bro.
Do you know what I mean?
The past self-medication, that's what.
The past 3 years, I've not been happy, bro, smoking it. I've not. It's just, it's the fact of I needed help. I didn't be man enough to go and get help because when you try to go and get help, bro, you think you're going to let your ma down, your dad down, because you're not strong enough to do it, or you're going to let mates down. Then I'm getting told there's people, kids looking up to me, defiant and all. Yeah, I understand that, but then again, we can't just be here, bro, sit here, or go to my club, or go work and act like I'm happy.
But
and
how can
is it
good.
Also like the fear of talking, is it because you're a fighter and fighters have this stereotype that this hard men, do you know what I mean?
But how can
did
what
it,
I'll
did it
say
play
to
into you not want to talk to people?
It's not that I didn't want to talk, bro, it's just.
What I'd say to you though, bro, is right, how can you be a role model for all these people when you're not at your best? So when you're at your best, we all know what you're like when you're at your best, right? We all know what you're like. We've all seen it growing up with you. We've all seen it when you're at your best. There's plenty of people that look up to me included. There's so many, but that's not putting a burden on you. But how can you be at your best and be a great role model for people when you're not at your best? And by being at your best is going and getting yourself sorted out and getting that help and not feeling like, oh, I'm weak or I'm not man enough to talk or I need to bottle all this up inside us. Look what it does to us, bro. Genuinely, look what it does to us. I was the same. I'd cry myself to sleep 7 days a week, all year round, for a full year straight. Cried myself to sleep every single night thinking, I'm getting out of here. And the amount of people that I had around me that needed me, and I just thought, no, I'm going to get out of here at one stage. I'm done.
That's
like
the thing, bro. When people did need me, I'm still there. And even if I was fucking fucked up or dying in the inside, bro, I was still there. It's just the fact of...
You don't get it in return.
It's not that I don't get it done, bro. What the fuck would you turn your back on me, man?
Yeah.
No matter what I do, like, don't fucking turn your back on me, bro.
Yeah. Well, you can't, though. Like, you can't.
That's all
you can't,
I ask.
Yeah, you can't claim to love somebody and then turn your back on them when the first chance you see.
It's not the first chance, bro. It's the fact of when you make mistakes, you make mistakes. Yeah, people get over and give
we
it.
We all make mistakes.
But when you make it a pattern, bro, when you constantly do it, bro.
But that's when the people that love you should step in and say, well, hang on, bro, you're going down the wrong road here.
That's
you need
the thing,
to sort
bro.
Yourself
people
out.
People fucking did, bro, but I couldn't stop. People did do it to me. People told me, but I could not stop, bro. Mm. You have no idea, man. Like, you know, we all have addictions different, but I could not stop, bro. If I stopped smoking weed, bro, I would go crazy. I would fight with everyone. I would fight with my mom, my dad. I would fight with my girl. I would fight with everybody, bro. And that is not me, man. Mm. I've never, ever been like that. I've always been a bubbly person. And the fact I let myself down, don't mind other people, bro. The fact I let myself down to make me out to be a person that I'm not. I'm a good person, bro. I've never been like this. Mm. And the fact I destroyed my first ever little family I had, bro. Do you get me? And even though that wasn't like my baby, bro, that made me feel like I had a family, bro. Because I just loved that, the whore and the baby, just as much as like, I loved them equally. Do you get me? I've never told I loved you more than the whore there. I told them,
family,
told them every time how much I loved them both. Do you get me?
Yeah.
And I fucked up. And then I got them close to that family. And do you get me? Yeah. I fucked that up because they think I'm a person that I'm not, bro. Or I'm not that person. I'm a good person, bro. Mm. I'm not an evil person. I'm not a person to scream and shout and smash things. And
you don't do this on purpose,
like this,
though,
bro.
At the end of the day, and that's the mental health side
it's a
of
disease.
It.
It's,
yeah.
Bro, like, explain to you how my way made me brain went, bro. I couldn't function. I got paro. It made me think that you didn't love me. You didn't show anything about me. It made me think mad shit, and it made you come out to be a bad person for something you think you're doing wrong, which you're not. it's me thinking, like, why the fuck do you not love me as much as I think you do? Why do you not care of me as much as this? I've got power, bro.
But that's the thing about it's the addiction. Disease, it's, yeah, it's making you, it's making you, you're making things up in your head that couldn't be further from the truth. And, like, that's what I was saying to you about the addiction is it's making you, so all these negative thoughts you're getting when you're not doing it, it's making you make things up in your head to, and then you believe it. So you're thinking to yourself, they don't love me. It couldn't be further from the truth. They love the ground you walk on, genuinely. But
yeah,
you don't think it. That's what I'm saying to you. It's hard for us to sit here and be like, oh, they do. And then, but you don't believe it. Do you know what I mean? How do we make you believe it? We can't.
Like, do you know what I mean? Think you do love me, but then... then you just don't smoke, bro, and you don't do anything. You're like, what? Why am I not this? Why am I not getting that much affection? Why am I not saying to you, all right? Why are you not checking? And then, even though they were, you just think that it's not enough because of how you feel, and then you get part of where I'm just an affection person, bro.
I'm the same, man.
If either one of you was telling me here, you just love me, bro. Don't just tell me, bro. Show me. Show me with affection. Show me with touch. Show me with, like, you care. Like, my phone, bro, it goes the same as yours. You press a button to call, and I can press a button to call, bro. It goes both ways, but it's the fact of, bro, I'm at the being suffering, and it's fucking me up, bro. It's the fact of, I got myself, now since the 26th of December, bro, the 26th of last month, 30 November, I went cold turkey, bro. Stop smoking, stop drinking. That was the day I lost my girl and the baby, do you hear me? And that fucked me up, man. That fucked me up. The fact I had a little crib with them, had a family with them, I was safe, bro. I was actually never felt more peaceful and happy, and never felt more joy in something. I felt like I was loved more than anything in the world, bro. But it was the fact of, you just don't think it, bro. You just think, like, what am I doing wrong? Did I do everything right? It just, weed fucks you up, bro, and it's a bad illness you have, because when you come off it, the nightmares, the shakes, the trauma you get, the things you think of that you know you did wrong to that person for you shouldn't have did, because you know it's not. At the start, bro, you know it. I was an amazing person. I have a heart of gold, bro. I would literally get out of bed at any time in the morning, you ring me.
For anyone, yeah.
For anyone, bro. And even if I talk to you for 2 days and you only join me club, or you only start being mates to me on Instagram, you text me and said you need it, bro. And even if it wasn't your mate, I would talk to you. It's the fact of, now I'm still talking to people, but still can't get my head around the fact that, not that I'm left on my own, I was left over something that I couldn't control over. And people think I'm using, making excuses, bro. I don't sit here and look for sympathy saying, God love Peter, bro. I'm sitting here to say, like, someone fucking help me, man. Yeah. Someone get me out.
It's a cry for help, but it's also, it's educational, as we said before this. It's educational for those out there that don't believe in any of it. That think, look, I smoke weed. I've no shame in saying that on the podcast. I smoke weed pretty much nearly every day, but my smoking weed compared to your smoking weed is two different things. I don't smoke in the morning, don't smoke in the afternoon, don't smoke when I have something to do. I will never ever smoke when it comes to work. I will never ever smoke before a training session. I won't smoke before going to the gym. I won't smoke before I have to do anything productive. My only time I'm smoking weed is when I have peace and I'm sitting alone and I can chill out.
The only time I had peace when I
do
smoked.
That, yeah. But when I do that, it's to sit down, relax, cup of tea, feet up, bit of dinner, watch something good on the telly, have a bit of crack, and I enjoy that. But even me, with mine, bro, I get paranoid. So the minute I finish that first one that night, first thing goes through my head is my biggest worry. And I start thinking, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if my missus ever leaves me? So for someone that only does it productively, only does it sometimes, like, as I said, I smoke every day, but it's only when I have time to myself to chill out. But even me, someone that doesn't smoke all day every day, that didn't smoke years or anything, doesn't smoke it every single day for the last 5-6 years, I've only done it, as I said, at the times where I can chill out, or as a social thing years ago, like 2 years ago with the boys or whatever. But yeah, I still get them negative thoughts, bro, and it's a constant thing as well. It's like the minute I finish a joint, it's like, what if my missus leaves me? Like, did I do anything wrong on anybody? Did I fuck up with something in work? Did I say something on the podcast that I shouldn't have said?
See, that's the wrong thing.
Straight away, it's like all these negative thoughts. And for someone, as I said, I'm a big advocate for legalising weed everywhere, and not just because I smoke it. I genuinely believe it helps in certain aspects in terms of medicinal use, that's all. But not fucking recreation use. But medicinal use, I'm a big advocate for. But even me, someone that is advocating for this, it's like, I still have all this paranoia. So if I have all this paranoia, you have all this paranoia. Every single person that smokes weed surely gets some sort of paranoia from it.
Same, bro.
Definitely.
See, this isn't even the fact, even me now, no disrespect to the boat, isn't even me now talking about it, bro. It feels like then after this, bro, people are going to judge, people are going to say this and that, bro, about it. But
Fuck one thing, bro.
No, bro, but you understand, bro, when someone that you care for and love that you think they're judging over something that you never did, bro. Like, bro, that is not me. I'm not that person, bro.
I've never ever been like that.
And it's the fact that I fucked up over a fucking drug, bro, that I couldn't control and I couldn't get rid of.
But do you think now, right, I don't want to just put these in, but do you think now that you can be open about it, you can admit it, and you do know what you're going through, and you've been looked at, and you've been where you've been, do you think now you can get everything back on track? Or there's a way to pass...
Bro, the thing is, there's a way for everything. Once you do something in the other way, no matter who it was with, the other balls in there for, do you know what
I mean? Yeah. So it's on them.
It's on
them,
bro.
But do you think you're in a mindset now, not in a mindset, but you're in a place now where you know you need help, you're speaking about it openly, and we thank you for even coming on this and speaking about it openly. Are you now in a place, and I know it's still tough, but are you now in a place to... get all this back on track to fix the relationships that you may have broken through with the addiction,
bro? I'm willing to do anything. Yeah. You don't have no idea. I am getting help, bro. I've been in the hospital now the past few days, and I know it's fucked up probably to say this now because I haven't even told my family about it yet, bro. No one in my family knew about that. This is the first time I'm speaking out about it. The only person that knows about it, bro, is my mate Alex, Sally and James, bro. They're the only people who know. And a girl called Tara Jones, bro.
Is it?
No, it's the girl that's out to kickboxing, bro. They're the only people that knows and checked up on me, bro. The only people. I know you have as well, but them past few days, bro, it would be heavy. I will do anything and anything. I'm just trying from now to be me a better person, bro.
Yeah.
Understand that I've did and I've said sorry and I've did the things, but people don't believe the sorry or apologies you did.
Sorry,
people.
Bro.
Like some people... Look, I haven't been on the same boat as you in terms of, like, what you've been through, but sometimes people are only going to remember you for the bad things.
That's the fucked up thing, bro.
That's the fucked up thing, but I think... Because I kind of been there in terms of skill, getting bullied. People always know me as... what they remember me.
The gobshite,
the freaking skill. That's what they're always going to remember.
Yeah, but
that was you at one stage. You have to understand, every year you grow, bro. Every day you have a different character.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter
you're going to grow. You're going to keep
still growing now. I don't know who I am,
bro.
People will always remember you like that. Do you know what I mean?
One thing I know who I am, bro. I'm a fighter. That's one thing I know. Yeah. I'm not saying a junkie. I'm not an addict. I'm not a drug user. I'm not a drinker, bro. I don't like it. It doesn't suit me. It does not suit me. If I drink, bro. Not that I think I'm the Hulk. I am happy on the drink and I'm grand.
It's important for us to highlight this, boys, because at the end of the day, right, in the inner city and surrounding communities like your area and stuff like that, they're very similar in a sense of the people that are in them. A lot of the people are very, very similar. The young people, the old people, the community itself. It's the inner city of Dublin, Coolock, Artane, a lot of these communities are not the exact same because everybody is different, but in terms of drug use and... like recreational drug use and parties and that side of things is, and in young people it's glorified, especially in our communities. And
especially some we've
so
never talked about.
So it's important for us. Yeah,
everywhere.
It's important.
No one ever really talked about fast gas. Yeah. Fast gas is everywhere.
It's important though
and
for us.
It's becoming a serious problem. I feel
like a lot of podcasts, and I don't want to blame call people out around here, but a lot of podcasts don't want to go into the nitty gritty stuff like this, bro. They don't. They just and look at it, it's people's opinions and whatnot, and like I said, it's so important that we do things like this, you know what I mean? I'm not saying we're going to go into a big depression thing every week or anything like that, but it's so important.
You should, bro. It's not that you're going to go into depression. People need to understand, if you love someone, if it's your family, if it's your partner, if it's your mate, bro, and you know, no matter who it is that you're loving, if drugs and drink is stopping you, get the fuck off it, bro. If it's addiction or not, talk to someone. Actually, bite down, bro, because at the stage, bro, you took yourself up, you flipped the joint, you poured out a can, and you drank
Nobody
it.
Nobody put it in your mouth.
No one did that to you, bro. So if you have the strength to fucking drink it, you have the strength to stop, bro. Yeah. Unfortunately, exactly. I stopped after the 26, bro, since I left. I stopped because I knew that's at the fucking my life up. That's at the fucking up the family I have. The only thing I can do now is I'm praying, hope to God that forgiveness for something that is not me. You know how beautiful I am, bro, and how strong I am, and how caring I am.
It's all about finding peace, bro. Finding peace in yourself.
It's not even the bro. You can't find peace in yourself after when you look in the mirror and say to yourself, "What the fuck am I? What did I do? Why am I doing wrong? How can you find peace in yourself?"
The thing is, you're only at the start of your journey.
No, bro. You don't understand. It's not the start. We've stopped. For ages,
I meant
bro.
Like since he stopped, like, I hope it's the final time he stopped.
Bro, I will never. I promise you now, bro. I'll tell you now. If I do, bro, I pray with nothing but bad luck on me, bro, for the rest of my life. I will never ever on my life touch a drink or touch a drug again. And I can put that in my life, bro. I'm not sitting here shy talking to make people think do this and that.
The thing about mental stuff is, bro, right? The mental thing, the mental side of things. At the end of the day, it's to do with your brain, right? And a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people that glorify mental health after a session or whatever is like, that's completely wrong in my opinion. But at the end of the day, mental health and mental illness, which is a proper illness, it comes down to the functionality of your brain and the brain cells. And sometimes one side of your brain could be
walking one time, the side is not, bro.
And then you could have a lack of brain cells or whatever it may be. You could have got a bang on the head when you were a child and you don't think anything's wrong, and then in a few years that bang to the head might have shaken up your brain a little bit. All of a sudden you're going through a mental illness that you have no control over. This is the thing, we cannot control how our brain works. We can't. If that's the case, we'd all be the happiest people in the world, never have a thing to worry about. You could go out about your day every single day and never once have one negative thought in your brain. If we could control our own minds, we can't. That's the case. Everyone be happy and mental illness wouldn't be a thing. But unfortunately, mental illness is a huge thing that we need to speak on and we need to highlight, because you're saying a lot there.
And people need to stop taking a piss out as well.
That's one thing people need to do. Yeah. And I'm seriously, bro, I will clatter the head off anybody, bro, that can stand here and slag someone about mental health or an illness they had over a drug addiction. That is the most sickest and fucked up thing you can ever do, bro. You don't understand the shit. The people I'm at the losing, the people I'm at the betraying, the people I'm at the letting down, disappointing, and people I'm at the fucking up on, bro. I had everything, bro. Not everything. I had everything that I dreamt of and wanted, bro. All I ever wanted was a family, bro. Of course I have my man and dad at home. That's good, bro.
No, but you have to
at the end of the day, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say this, but at the end of the day, your man and dad is going to pass, bro. Then it's time for you to create your own family. For you to create something that you always wanted and dreamed of. Your man and dad is going to be there, bro. But you can't have sex with your man and dad and have a baby with your man and dad, bro. Fucked up to say that ourselves, bro. You just can't. Do you get me?
It's right.
You want to have your own family, bro, and do something that you want to do and achieve something you want to achieve, bro.
Yeah.
Your family is going to come to the person you were attracted to, someone you love, someone you want to build that family with that you always wanted, bro. I had that and fucked that up over a drug addiction, bro. And I cannot ever go back. I can never take the mistakes back I did, bro. Ever. The only thing I can do is learn from it and show you that I'm a changed person. Yeah. That shit ain't even going to happen
again.
It's
behind you,
No matter how many times I fucked up with it, bro.
It's not about regretting either, right? I know you're going to regret it because it's only recent. But a lot of it, right? If you do change, right? You're going to change your ways. You're going to get yourself better. You're getting the help that you need. And hopefully, touch wood, I really do hope that you do get the help you need that can help you get out of all of this. Don't look back in regret because of your mistakes.
This
you
is made, the thing, bro. I regret nothing, bro. Say,
yeah, exactly.
The thing
you
is,
made
what
the mistakes,
happened in the past happened.
Yeah, and you made those mistakes at the time because of the addiction you had. And when you weren't smoking, as I said, that's when you're at your worst. And that's when you were vulnerable to people. And when you snapped or when you done the things that you done and said the things that you said or whatever. But don't look back on that when you do get better and go, oh, I shouldn't have fucking done that. Because at the end of the day, you've done it at the time when you were in a mindset that's not you. We know it's not you. They probably know it's not you, but you still done it. But don't look back on that and say, Jesus, I fucking, I can't.
That's one thing I'll never do, bro. One thing I've always said.
Because it's just
going
to eat you up for your future, bro.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
That's a fact, bro. And my dad and my granddad used to always say, we never regret anything, bro. Because the things you regret, like you say you regret, bro, you did them for a reason. They're either going to make you learn or make you do something. Unfortunately, like I learned the hard way because you lose someone. You lose something good, bro.
Yeah.
I regret nothing. It's the fact of, it's up to you to learn from it. But at the stage, I couldn't learn from the regrets I was doing or the mistakes I was doing because you couldn't see it, bro. You only see it when it's too late.
Yeah.
When something bad happens or you lose someone or you betrayed someone, bro. It's the fact of, like, no matter what you do, you are going to learn, bro. I regret nothing. If I slagged you, if I did that, I regret nothing because I won't do it again. Because I'll hurt you, bro. Mm-hmm. That's one thing about me. I'll always stick to my word. Always. I know people can turn around and say, but if you stuck to your word, then that wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened yet. I couldn't stick to the word. I keep to my word. I keep to my promises because my mindset, I was just thinking, green, 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 smoke, quick, you're cracking up, get a joint into you. If don't get a joint into you, oh, what the fuck, like, what's going on? What's happening here? And then it made me mad, bro. It made me think, like, bro, for years and years and years, bro, I did not want to live, bro, at all, one bit. I genuinely didn't want to be here because the pain was fucking me up. Because the pain I was feeling, I was putting the pain onto you. I was putting the pain onto you, bro.
Deflecting it onto other people.
It's not that I wanted to put the pain onto you, bro.
No, of course not.
I didn't know how to control it. I didn't know what to say. Like, listen, I'm a man. I'm in pain here. Help me.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do it, bro. I didn't know what way to think of it. The only thing I can do is for anybody, bro. Not even got to do with Emma that I just lost in the baby, with me ma, with me dad, with everybody, bro. Anything I did with you, I pray down to the God that you just forgive me for anything I did. I'm not that person anymore. And I'll show everybody, bro, soon that my reflections and my actions are going to speak louder than my words, bro.
100%.
And everything's going to be different.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. And now it's on you.
And even if, God forbid, they don't forgive you, you still try and be the best man you can be.
The fact, bro, yeah, of course. But then sometimes it's very hard to be the man you want to be when you don't have the people you need. Yeah, and the people you want. Do you get me, bro? I've never wanted someone much more in my life, bro. This was mad. I think it was the fact that because we had that little family and you... Bro, I find it attractive. People think with people and single mans and single this, I find it attractive that you have a kid, bro. Because of the fact that you can look after the kid. Imagine I had a kid with you, bro.
A family man, yeah.
You can look after someone else. You can look after my kid if you're looking after the kid now, bro.
Yeah.
I find that sexy, bro. I find that attractive that you can do that. Yeah. I'll put my hands up and say that, bro. Do you get me? Like, you were looking after a kid. Imagine my kid with you as well,
yeah.
And your kid, the little family.
Yeah.
That's nothing more than sexy and attractive, more than you want, bro. Do you get me?
Yeah, of course.
You can look after a human being, bro.
Yeah.
You bring a human being into the world and you're crying and you're looking after
it.
To me, that's so sexy, bro.
Look, bro, you're on the road to recovery. The main thing is now you get everything that you've done wrong and will you correct all of this and make sure you get the right help that you need, get you on the right track. And as I said, don't have any regrets for the things that you've done, because at the end of the day, you are a different person when all of that happened. And hopefully, because we're going to have to wrap this up, but hopefully you get the right help and you get back on the right track, right all the wrongs, do everything for you and not for anybody else. So not to make anybody else happy, to make you happy. So hopefully.
It will, bro. It takes time. Baby steps.
Loves takes years. So be patient.
Yeah. It will, bro.
I appreciate you opening up on this podcast.
There'll be bad times, good times. It's a non-linear journey. You're always going to get ups and downs. It's all about managing it.
Yeah,
it's all about the storm.
Before you go, bro, one thing I say, never judge someone by the bad. We're not always bad, bro.
No.
We have bad mistakes. You were bad at me and we still stood around.
Mate, I'm with my missus 5 years and some of the stuff we've been through together as well, like, she'll tell you that herself. We're very open about it. Some of the stuff we've said to each other that was mistakes, like, either of us could have been gone, but it was on both of us to stick by each other through them hard times. Because when I'm with my missus, bro, and like, I'm not joking, you know, I'm not going to bleed and say too much, but I've had months and months in the last 5 years to where I was an absolute cunt. I'm not going to lie to you, and I don't mean a cunt as in giving out to her or calling on names, nothing like that, just she wants a bit of love. And I wasn't giving it to her. Simple as that. And I don't mean in a sexual way. Don't mean it in any way. Just intimacy, like hugs and
being close
and cuddling and stuff like that. And it was just I was in a mindset I'm so negative that just get away from me. Yeah. Leave me alone. I just want to be left alone. And she stuck by me through all of that. Do you know what I mean?
And that's what she loves you, bro. Yeah. That's what Emma did for me as well, bro.
I'm blessed. I swear I am blessed. And I know you're going through a situation right now. But hopefully, even with opening up on this podcast and her hearing that, how much you do fucking love her and her child.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, bro, it's up to her, bro. Yeah. She has to try to believe and trust me again, bro.
Of course.
You know, but you need,
and if she gives you the opportunity, prove it. Prove it,
bro.
That's all it takes.
You have no idea what I'm going to prove.
I know,
bro.
You're going to, and hopefully, touch wood for you, bro. You do get this opportunity to prove your point, because when you do prove it, happily ever after.
That's all I ever want.
You know what the thing is about rock bottom? it gives us the best lessons.
That's a fact, bro.
And it just hones us.
And when you're
that.
At rock bottom, the only way is up.
The only way is up, exactly.
And when you're up, when you're up, bro, you have to be prepared for the landing, bro.
You have to keep yourself up there.
You have to be prepared always for the landing.
Yeah.
Once you're up, bro, you always come back down, and you have to just be prepared for the landing, bro.
Yeah, of course. And you'll never stay up, and you'll never stay down. What you always say is, nobody is happy 24/7, and nobody is sad 24/7. You're gonna have your moments where you couldn't be happier, and you're gonna have your moments where you couldn't be any sadder. Where you're at your worst, and I've been there, bro. I told you all this. He knows about this. I tried it. Everyone knows about it now. I've talked about it on 4 different podcasts, but I've been at playing rock bottom to where I wanted suicide, and that's my way out. You know what I mean? And the only way was up. Now, thank God I haven't gone there ever again, but I've been in situations where I was getting close to that, and it was only because I knew how it felt when I was down there. I can't bring myself to let myself go back down there. Even though I'm going through a rough patch now, how do I change things? Start training, start eating right, going for runs, get myself active, staying healthy. When I'm active and healthy is when I'm at my happiest and I'm at my best, where I perform to my best in terms of lifting weights or training with you or even football. Is make sure I'm fit and healthy, and that's when I'll be happy. That's the most important thing. You know what I mean? It's finding, it's figuring out where you're at your happiest and doing everything you can to keep yourself there.
Yeah, but when you're at your happiest, bro, there's always that little tiny little bit just to fill the gap.
There's always doubt as well. Is this real? Is my happiness real, or is it temporary to where I'm gonna be depressed down my head tomorrow? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, my advice is, when you're coming out rock bottom, like, you're going to be in a hole, you're below ground level, that's the way you always see it. The first step is just try and get out the hole, get to ground level first, and then the rest will take care of itself.
Oh, no, that problem, I'm trying to get out of the ground level, I'm melting now. I'm not saying I'm melting, I'm fixing, I'm done, bro, but I know I'm not that person anymore. I'm not the cranky cunt, I'm not the man bag, the one that's going to be paranoid and questioning all the time about shit. I'm just me now, working on me to build myself back, to get the people that I lost around me that love me. Yeah. I'm trying to show everybody, bro. Everybody.
And you will.
Everyone that, just listen, forgive me. Not saying forget about the pain, push the pain aside. Nah, never ever do that, bro. Never push the pain aside. But let me show you that I can get rid of that pain and show you that
they want mistakes.
This is never going to happen again, bro. Yeah.
I made mistakes and it won't happen.
This isn't ever.
Let's fucking prove it. Life's changed,
bro.
You know what I mean?
No matter what I do, bro, I'm going to prove it.
I appreciate you opening up, brother.
No worries at all. I appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on again. That's probably the most honest and open conversation I've had ever on this podcast, innit? In terms of mental health, anyway. So,
appreciate you for having me.
Thanks for opening up, and hopefully someone takes some sort of education out of this conversation and some sort of motivation.
If it helps one person,
that's a win. I always say,
people just need to stop being sheeps.
I had a yoke on my story the other day. I'll finish.
But I hope this helps you as well.
I had a yoke on my story the other day, and I deleted it because I didn't want to post about shared and something. And the stuff I wrote on it was, the reason I posted all this mental health stuff over the last 4 years is not for anybody to text me and say, all right, because I have you have me missus, I've a lot of good friends that I can go to when I need to, and I'm the first to open up and look, listen, I'm going through a hard time at the minute. I'll tell you exactly why, or I'll tell you how. I post stuff about mental health so that someone can see that, whether he's my age and a bloke, whether you're a woman, whether you're a young woman, old woman, middle-aged woman, whether you're an old man, young man, middle-aged man, if one person looks at my story and gets some form of motivation out of it to go and speak to someone, that's a win for me. I don't do it for sympathy. I don't do it for people to come running, because, as I said, I don't need sympathy. I have enough people around me to get sympathy from if I need it.
And even doing this to me today, bro, I don't want people to text me, fair play, hope you're all right.
No.
Learn from it.
Yeah.
Learn from it.
Take something from it.
Stop being a sheep. The people you think that are your friends and love you don't love you, bro, and they're not your mates. And that's
people are only around you while you can give. The minute you no longer give, and I said this before, because I used to be the most popular out of any friend group. Remember, I used to have 20, 30 people out my man's back, but that was because I always had the room the session. I always had the room the session. The minute I took that room out of the equation and invited everybody down to come down and smoke joints, have drinks and all out the back, no, you're all right, because they couldn't go into my gaff. And didn't have a gaff to go to, and then you're seeing 10 and 15 out of 20 leaving. All of a sudden, you're down to the last four, and that's when you see who your real mates are. People are only around you. You think, oh yeah, I've 20 mates. No, you don't.
No.
You've 20 people who take. Even family comes into this. They'll take. The no longer you can give, that's when they start to disappear. And I've seen it myself. I've given to so many people, family included. The minute I no longer could give, is when I seen them disappear.
Yeah,
so all these cunts that are going around Summer Hill with 20, 30 mates thinking they're the best thing since sliced bread, mate, opening your eyes. Honestly, open your eyes, because when you actually open your eyes, you realise there's four or five in that friend group that actually care about you.
I apologise, I understand you have to go, but the three of us here have to understand, bro, we know the truth. We know what is right and what is wrong. We know if people are telling the truth, bro. You know if it's a yes or no. 100%. In the back of your head, bro, if you say to yourself, pick up that coffee now or later, you're telling yourself yes or no, bro. 100%. Do you get me? So you know the truth. Know. You know who loves you.
Exactly.
All I say is that anyone out there, kids, adults, girls or boys, stop being a fucking sheep and look after the loved ones and look after yourself, bro.
Take care
Look
yourself.
After the people that
appreciate
truly love you.
Coming in, bro.
I appreciate you for having me. Thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks very much for opening up about that. It's hard.
Awesome, boys.
Thank you.
Peace and love.
All right, see you later, guys.
Tell the world and say me, I'd be here cause me want freedom, want freedom. Tell the world and say me, want freedom, come, want freedom, want freedom. Tell